Michael Bloomberg will be on the 2020 debate stage for the first time in Nevada tonight, and President Trump's pardon power is under scrutiny after he granted clemency to 11 people yesterday, most of them politically connected people, such as former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Let's bring in our political strategist, Yvette Simpson, a Democratic strategist, and Matt Mikowiak, Republican strategist. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
And let's start with that debate. Michael Bloomberg will be there, joining Biden, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Sanders, and Warren. They say he has bought his way in, but he is now leading in some polls in some states. Yvette, let's start with you. What are you going to be watching for tonight?
The big thing is how he responds to attacks on his record. So for the first couple months, I think when he was starting to put these ads out, they were really unchecked. And in the last month, you've seen a lot of folks start to question by video, you know, some of his policies, particularly on stop and frisk, his history with women. He's got quite a checkered past from his time in the mayor's office. And so the question is, will the moderators challenge him and ask him to answer those questions? Will folks like Warren and Sanders, who really are opposed to him on a lot of these policies, really challenge him? Because this is the one opportunity, actually the first opportunity to really get the chance to have him on the hot seat and on the defense about his challenging record.
Matt, what do you think? What are you going to be watching for tonight?
Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, I think Bloomberg's going to be on defense tonight. Whether he's able to substantively answer these attacks, whether he's able to explain how he's changed his view on major issues, including as recently as last year. These are not minor problems that he's dealing with on stop and frisk, on comments he's made about different groups of Americans that are part of the Democratic constituency, on having been a Republican, on having endorsed against Obama. I mean, you can go down the list. He's made critical comments about Obamacare. So, for a long time, it seemed like the Democrats have been, you know, generally aligned on most issues, with perhaps a couple that are pushing Medicare for All and things that are a little more progressive. Bloomberg's history and, I guess, his present are really at odds, and that's what's going to be, I think, so significant tonight. The question is whether his momentum is going to be arrested, right? He has been rising in the polls entirely on his financial backing for his, you know,
his ads.
His ads that have just net, you know, that are infinite, quite literally infinite. I think he's already spent $400 million across the country. So we've never seen this kind of capital infusion by one candidate for the presidency. But he's a new Democrat. He's a new entrant into this field and a new Democrat. And I think tonight he's going to be on defense quite a bit.
But what about Bernie Sanders, who, you know, came in either first or second, depending how you count it, in Iowa, and then came in first in New Hampshire? He's leading nationally and in Nevada. Last night at a CNN town hall with Anderson Cooper, Sanders says he has no plans to release further medical records, which might give some details about his heart attack that he had last year. Let's listen.
And by the way, you think I'm not in good health, come on out with me on the campaign trail, and I'll let you introduce me to the three or four rallies a day that we do. How's that?
But just to be clear, you don't plan to release any more records?
I don't. I don't think we will, no.
Okay, so Yvette, is he going to be able to get away with that with these candidates, aside from Sanders, wanting to take some of his support away?
You know, we'll see. I see this as a red herring. You've got four candidates over the age of 70. Is the contest who's the most healthy and who's going to last the longest? I mean, I think he gave three letters. I think that's the most we've seen from many people. He's given his tax returns. And so I think what he said is, I've given more than most, you know, put up or shut up. Don't ask me if you're not willing to give. And so, one of the things that I think is kind of problematic, particularly with a field like this, is we're really saying, is this ageist? You know, we're saying he's over 70. And he's right. I mean, compared to Donald Trump, who probably has, you know, how many McDonald's burgers a day, definitely not a healthy president. Elizabeth Warren is running circles around folks. Joe Biden looks really, really tired. You know, I wonder if this is the best way to use our energy. And I think Bernie Sanders is going to probably call that out and say, you know what, we're all of a certain age, particularly the top front runners. This is ageist. I've given as much as I'm going to give. Now the rest of you put up or shut up.
Matt, we were talking today with Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia Center for Politics, and he said that in Virginia, where there's an open primary and even Republicans can go and vote in the Democratic primary, that he expects many Republicans will go and vote for Sanders because they think he's going to be the easiest for Trump to beat. Have you heard? Is that something that's going on in Republican circles around the country?
So it's not as kind of specific and not as promoted as the Operation Chaos idea was promoted by Rush Limbaugh, I think, in 2008. But it is out there. And, of course, Trump, when he was in New Hampshire the night before the New Hampshire primary, suggested that maybe some of his supporters would cross in that open primary. You might see that in Nevada as well on Saturday with the caucuses. There are other states that have open primaries. I think that's probably along the margins. There's actually a lot of overlap in support between Trump and Bernie in terms of populist views, and so that connection is closer than you might first think it would be. So I think that could be a factor. I don't think it'll be a significant factor.
Let's talk about some of the other candidates who will be on the stage tonight. Joe Biden, who is trying to prove that he's got support of minority voters, including Latinos in Nevada. He was asked by Univision's Jorge Ramos whether he would apologize for the 3 million undocumented immigrants who were deported by the Obama administration. Here he is.
It was a mistake. It was a mistake, and it took too long to get it right. It took too long to get it right.
So he's apologizing there. And then on CNN last night, Pete Buttigieg was asked about Rush Limbaugh's comments, wondering if America is ready to elect a gay president, and Trump apparently telling Limbaugh, according to Limbaugh, not to apologize for that. Listen.
The idea of the likes of Rush Limbaugh or Donald Trump lecturing anybody on family values? I mean, I'm sorry, but one thing about my marriage is it's never involved me having to send hush money to a porn star after cheating on my spouse.
Yvette, as you hear those two candidates, and of course, then there'll also be Elizabeth Warren on the stage tonight and Amy Klobuchar. What do those candidates need to do?
You know, I think this is do or die for all four of them for obvious reasons. You know, Joe Biden has staked his claim on black and brown voters. He did horribly last place in New Hampshire, second to last in Iowa. And he's saying black and brown voters are with me. So he has to be right here and he has to show some strength here. He also is going to be on the defense there, right, because his record with the crime bill and some other kind of historical things that he's already kind of battled before. Amy Klobuchar needs to show that lightning can strike twice, right? She hasn't acknowledged and, of course, knows that she doesn't have the type of support in Nevada and in South Carolina, but thinks that she can build it one election at a time. But the question is, will she have another breakthrough performance enough to get her through Nevada? Pete Buttigieg, who recently took some fire for falsifying support in the black community, saying that he has support where he doesn't. He has to defend that, his record with African-Americans and brown people, pretty desperate. And I think Elizabeth Warren is fighting from this erasure syndrome, right? People have pretty much counted her out after New Hampshire. She says she has support in Nevada and South Carolina, and I think she has to show up in this debate and not disappear, meaning she has to be active the entire time and show that she's still in this race.
Matt, do you agree with that? Do you think it's do or die for all the other four other than Bloomberg and Sanders tonight?
Yeah, I do. I think it is. You're going to see signs of desperation, I think, among those candidates. And Yvette's right. I mean, Warren sort of disappeared from the last debate, and that's not necessarily her fault. But you have to interject. You have to raise your hand. At some point, you have to interrupt so that you don't get lost. I think this debate could come down to Biden, Bernie, and Bloomberg, the three Bs, the killer Bs, I guess you could call them. And everyone else could kind of get left out if they're not careful. But they're all desperate, you know, for different reasons. She rightly identifies that Amy and Pete have had really almost no minority support. That's a huge test in Nevada. Of course, Amy hasn't really had to scale her campaign, hasn't had the resources to do that until very recently. I think she's raised $10 million since New Hampshire, put her first television ad up in Nevada the day after the New Hampshire primary. And look, this is about Super Tuesday as well, right? If you don't finish in the top two in Nevada or the top two in South Carolina, you're going to have no money for Super Tuesday. You're going to be nowhere when Texas and California and all these other states are voting, when 40% of the delegates are allocated on March 3rd. So this race is going to winnow whether these candidates recognize it, whether they drop out or not in the next few weeks. It's going to get down to two or three people who have a legitimate mathematical path to, if not the nomination, then to a plurality going into the convention in Milwaukee.
Okay, finally, let me just switch gears for a second here. The sentencing of Roger Stone takes place tomorrow on charges stemming from the Russia investigation. And today there are multiple reports that Attorney General William Barr has told people close to the president that he's considering resigning if Trump doesn't stop commenting on ongoing legal matters. Yvette, do you believe that Barr is considering resigning?
I am waiting for him to say that he's resigning. So I'm in a put up or shut up moment with Bill Barr. I mean, how many lawyers from the DOJ, former lawyers, have to ask him to resign? I think it's posturing. I don't know if, you know, if he is hasn't done it yet, I don't know what it's going to take. I like the fact that he's at least acknowledging that the pressure from the president is getting to him. But the question is, will he do it? And if so, he needs to do it right now.
And Matt, do you think that Roger Stone is going to get a pardon the way that Rod Blagojevich did yesterday? He got a commutation.
I think the odds that Roger ultimately gets pardoned are probably better than 50%, but I think the odds that that happens before the election are pretty low. I think it'd be an unfortunate distraction on the strong economy, the other things the president's done. He has the wind at his back right now, I think, politically. He has over the last couple of weeks. His numbers are rising.
Do you think it was the right move for him to pardon or to commute Blagojevich's sentence?
I don't personally, but it was a commutation. He'd served, you know, a certain period of time, and they get 4 years left. But no, I don't. And the fact that the Illinois delegation has opposed that, I think, would have been a really good example of that. But look, pardon power is pretty much unlimited. The president can use it however he wants. I think I saw an analysis yesterday. He's only done 76 of these. Carter did over 500 in 4 years. Mm. So something to keep in mind.
So another few hundred left to come, maybe. We'll see. Matt Mikowiak, a Republican strategist, and Yvette Simpson, Democratic strategist. Thanks so much to both of you. We'll be watching tonight.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.